You're listening to the KHSU Magazine. I'm Danielle Orr. Next up, author of the new book, Loaded, A Disarming History of the Second Amendment, author Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz joins us by telephone. Loaded, A Disarming History of the Second Amendment is a deeply researched and apparently deeply disturbing history of guns and gun laws in the United States from the original colonization of the country to the present. As historian and educator Dunbar Ortiz explains, in order to understand the current obstacles to gun control, we must understand the history of U.S. guns from their role in the settling of America and the early formation of the new nation and continuing up until present. I'm excited to have Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz with us on the telephone. She's professor emerita at Cal State University, East Bay. And the Latinx Center for Academic Excellence and Center Arts presents Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz at the Van Duzer Theater Tuesday, March 20th from 7 until 8:30 p.m. Welcome to the KHSU Magazine, Roxanne.
Thank you, Danielle.
Congratulations on your book. And as we were just talking a little bit before we went on the air, timely and not so timely, as you said.
Yes, unfortunately, it would have been timely almost
any time
in the last 40 years to come out with as far as mass shootings go, which really picked up in the 1970s, although the first one of that type was in 1965.
And so have we been having more shootings?
Well, they have accelerated since since 9/11, I developed one idea, in the book, that there is a tremendous spike in acquisition of weapons by civilians, with not just when war's going on, because with the U.S. war's always going on, but a lot of it's covert. But with Vietnam, you know, a huge spike, and then with, you know, the wars in the Middle East, there was a spike in, with the Gulf War in 1991, and then it's just been endless, you know, for 17 years since 9/11. So that is one relationship, the militarism, and the return of combat veterans, who are the most likely of all demographics to acquire multiple high-powered weapons.
Goodness. And it's hard to know whether social media makes it seem like there are more shootings, but I know it seems that many, many people are really holding on to the Second Amendment idea that they need to be able to protect themselves from a government that they don't trust. What do you say to that?
Well, the Second Amendment is rooted, it's a white supremacist rooted, you know, white supremacist republic, white republic, actually. It was founded, and it's based on a, it is an individual right. The Constitution itself provided for the Army. It provided for state militias that have become the National Guard. I hear Nancy Pelosi constantly saying, well, we have the National Guard, and that's what the militia referred to. But that's just wrong, you know, because that's in the Constitution. There would have been no reason to repeat it as an individual right. So it is really what it says and what the NRA says that it is. You know, it is the individual right, and in fact, you know, that it cannot be abrogated. And the militias are the self-organized citizens' militias. That this is a whole process of the colonization of the whole United States from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific, and to taking half of Mexico, you know, to the Rio Grande. And up to Canada. That was a 100-year war after the establishment of the United States. But it was a continuation of endless wars against the Native people who, east of the Mississippi, half the country, what is the country now, were agriculturalists, agronomists, really, raising food crops, living in villages, and, you know, completely different from the stereotype of the hunter in the woods, you know, and the mythology of the hunter and scattered tribes and, you know, very few people. They're very densely populated despite, you know, disease in some places. but not others. So it, at first it's very easy, as it was for the French in Vietnam, to get the upper hand, or in all of Africa, the colonialism, you know, with peasants or rural people, farmers, because they're not armed for self-defense mm-hmm. in that way. You know, they may have, among themselves, have even wars, but it's not for the acquisition of property. It's often over some, especially in irrigated areas like the Southwest, over water, you know, being anyone cheap. So, you know, there might be an outbreak. But generally, there was no large, well-equipped outside force coming in to in this way. So it kind of overpowers, say, for the first decade until they can get in a defensive position and begin. So they took an awful lot of territory, Virginia, Massachusetts Bay Colony, mm-hmm. along the shore very quickly, although there was resistance about 40 years after the Puritans came and established Massachusetts Bay. Of course, it was an all-out war, the Pequot War, a major war of resistance. So they kept pushing like this, and more they got considerable resistance and confederations of native people fighting back. So these militias were the, I call them the foot soldiers of empire. They're the ones who had the greatest interest in taking land because they usually weren't the very wealthy, but then there was this process of the very wealthy, like the George Washingtons and Madisons and, you know, the founders of the country, who would then appropriate it, you know, take it because these small owners couldn't really compete with slave labor, you know, with a family farm. And the only thing going was, you know, was to, they imported a good deal of their food in the colonies because all land was being used for commodity production of non-food crops, cotton, flax, indigo, fibers, and tobacco, of course.
Yeah.
So these then also became, as slavery got, racial slavery got institutionalized in the 1660s, slave patrols were carved out of those militias and also used for that.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the two items that settlers were given the right to do this. And then you can think of, let's say, Israel today, mm-hmm. how these settlers, many of them from the United States, go and simply take Palestinian farmers, olive farmers, and take their land.
Mm-hmm.
In strategic positions, usually hilltops, and they're there completely illegal against not only international law, but Israeli law. And they hold on, you know, and they also fight. Sometimes the Israeli army and will go clear out some like they did it in Gaza. But very rarely, they usually end up legalizing it and taking and annexing that land. So you see it on a on that miniature scale right now happening before our eyes, what happened over a period of 250 years in North America.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a must read, and how amazing you're going to be joining us here in Humboldt County on Tuesday, March 20th, 7 until 8:30 p.m. in the Van Duzer Theater. And I thank you, Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, for joining us today on the phone. This seems like an amazing read, Loaded, A Disarming History of the Second Amendment. I will look forward to reading the book, and hopefully you'll have some for sale at the Van Duzer the night of your talk. If not, I'm sure it's widely available.
They will be for sale, and I will be signing books, and I really look forward to returning to Humboldt.
Fascinating subject. Thank you so much, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you, Danielle.
Okay. Thank you, Roxanne.